I'm here today with Michelle Haynes, who's a master chef originally from Paris, France. She's the executive chef at Spring Mill Cafe, which is near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And she's visiting the North Fork because she is a traveling chef. Welcome, Michelle. So tell me, what is a traveling chef?
Well, a traveling chef is someone who wants to share, going both ways, learning from what other people have done, and me sharing what I have done. And since I have nearly given my restaurant to my youngest son, I have to leave room to a new generation. I still do programs and cooking demonstration at the restaurant, but I'm really on the road or on the plane all over the world doing demonstration, doing gourmet dinners, and visiting vineyards and farms. I'm a slow food member. I'm very active. I'm on the board in Europe, on the board in the United States. So a lot of the things I'm doing, I report to them. I write about, you know, my experience in terms of farm to table.
And what brought you to the North Fork? What have you been doing since you've been here?
Well, I had a connection because I knew Emily Hartnett from Terra Fatta Farm. And then I hooked up with a lady called Annie. I ended up at the Ross Hotel doing truffle dinner.
Ooh, yum.
Yes.
Oh, how did it go?
Very well. There were many different people who all, you know, people who have introduced me to the farmers where I got the vegetable, to the person where I got my beef, to the people I got the milk. So it was so beautiful that everything was from the land right here.
What would you tell people about the North Fork? When you leave here, what are you going to say about this place?
Well, it is very pretty. People are extremely welcoming and helpful. And that's why I came to you, because I really wanted to thank everybody who made my experience so special, and also to reinforce what I believe in. And I was raised that way, that you must eat locally. You must eat with a season. And why should you eat a dreadful strawberry that has no taste in the middle of the winter? So we have to go back to what our body really wants. And I think North Fork really symbolizes and embodies exactly that, that you have beautiful farm, a climate that makes it very special. It's a bit like the Provence in France. And therefore, you're very lucky, but you saw you were lucky and used it and made something very special.
Did you try our wines?
Yes, I did. Very, very nice wine. I tried a Chardonnay, excellent Pinot Noir, two kinds, one on the lighter side that is a bit like a Beaujolais, and then a stronger Pinot Noir, really, you know, that has very good body. And today I go to Le Roux Vineyards. I mean, it's funny that I've not gone to my compatriot, Yvan. So it's going to be the last vineyard I'm doing before I leave. But that's all right. I really don't want to miss him.
When did you move from Paris?
Oh, 1963.
So when you first moved to the States, did you find that our relationship with food was not as, I guess, locally centered as it is in France?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I came in 63, that was very difficult. Very difficult. I had to really, really change gear. Really change gear. I mean, I don't know if I can say that on the air, so you can always cut it off. But my mother came, and it went for everything. My mother tried the coffee, and she said, "That's juice of socks." So that's, you know, and then there was this horrible thing called Jello that move around. They look like jellyfish on the beach. So, you know, that was really very difficult. And going to the state store and wanting wine and seeing the man with the Windex spraying a bottle that got dirty because he wanted it clean. And then he had a 1954 Bourgogne, a beautiful Montrachet. And he said, "Oh, it's so old, I let it go for $2. And I laughed so much, you know, I run home and told my husband, but I was laughing so much that I could not really explain. But when he saw the bottle, all clean, smelling of Windex, he knew what I had gone through. And finally, I explained. I said, well, it was very well cleaned with Windex, and it's only 2 bucks because it's too old. Obviously, that would not happen anymore.
Yeah.
So the change from 63 to now is amazing. The same with cheese, you know. I could only find things like Velveeta or whatever, this dreadful processed thing. And now it's amazing. I mean, it's even better than France, because you're much more open-minded than most French people, if I may say so. So you have so many ethnicity, you have so many different groups here, so you accept varieties. So because you accept variety, once you have embraced something, and it just goes on and it flourishes. And that's why I love this country, and that's why I'm here.
Wow, so you've seen a lot of changes since the 60s.
Amazing.
We've become foodies.
Yeah, but foodies in a good way. Foodies that there's some people who make it, you know, fashionable, and they will always be that. But also there are people who really believe in it, because you're talking about your body. You're talking about health. You're talking about, you know, respecting who you are. You know, you are a creation. You are a work of art, and you should respect that.
Where do you think foodies can go wrong?
Well, it can go wrong either because people are not going to take that movement seriously. That's why I was insisting about it's not about a fashion like, you know, short skirt this year or long skirt next year. No, we're talking about a machine called our body, which is not like a car. If the engine doesn't work, you get a new engine. I think that's where it can go wrong. But I don't think it will, because the effort is on education. Mm-hmm. And it starts with our children. And I think we have to go to the very, very young children so that they have a very good education about food, understand where it grows, how it grows, be very curious about it. And then that's where it is automatically done. I don't think we should eat saying, I'm eating protein and lipid. My grandmother never did that. What a dreadful way to eat. No, you eat because it's beautiful. You're in great company. You exchange ideas. You come back from school. You tell mom and dad what you have done. And same thing with the rest. That's what food is. Food is a social thing. It's not, you know, gobbling up in 5 minutes and be gone. No, that's not good for you.
What were some of your favorite produce that you encountered while you were here?
Peaches. Very, very good peaches and apricots. Apricots is a marvelous story, because apricots, when they're good, they are marvelous. But when they're not good, they really like flour. You know, I mean, very dreadful, very dreadful. So it's very hard, unless they come right from the tree and you eat it, to ever experience a good apricot. So that, and in my family, my grandfather was really the apricot man. So it was a beautiful experience to eat apricot and think of him.
Tell me a little bit about your restaurant. What kinds of food do you make at your restaurant in the Spring Mill Cafe in Pennsylvania?
I started 35 years ago, and it's a small country restaurant, French food. We make everything there. I specialize in pâtés, country pâté, chicken liver pâté with truffles, like I made last night. Rillette, very delicious pâté, which is like a shredded pork pâté. It can be shredded duck also. I make duck confit. I make all the standard French, very bistro provincial style. I make rabbit stew with prunes. I make beef bourguignon. I make cassoulet. I make bouillabaisse. Oh, these are all the ones that I demonstrate to customers, and we cook together and then we eat together. All the desserts, creme caramel, chocolate mousse, tarte tatin. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's lunchtime.
That makes you feel me very hungry. I should
That's
have
right.
samplers.
Sounds wonderful. And I've been speaking with Michelle Haines. She's a visiting chef from Pennsylvania, originally from Paris, France. Thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.